Today I want to speak from Colossians chapter 3, and I will start off with verse 1, but last week, remember, Paul was leading and Neil was leading, was doing what Julie normally does. They both had the same scripture, and the same scripture was from Colossians chapter 3, and it was further down from about 5 to 11. Around there, and right up to, we can go right till the end of the verse 17. So I thought, if that happened, that God must want to say something. So we're often after a word. Well, that was a word, believe me. When two people get the same scripture independently, God must be trying to say something. Now, I'm not sure exactly what God is trying to say. It might be that he's trying to say something different to each individual, I don't know. But there were a couple of things that I want to pull out. There's mention of thanksgiving, there's mention of forgiveness, again, which we're doing pretty well, but it's still not quite right here. And forgiveness and the word peace, which the Greek word means in the Hebrew shalom, those three things. And we'll be looking at particularly at peace, shalom, in the talk. But I also felt this morning in the reading, I was asking the Lord, and I felt this was one of the reasons why perhaps God was speaking to us. I don't know exactly. I don't profess to know all that God is doing at all, but we try to find what God wants to the best of our ability. And one of the readings this morning in our church service, in our mass, was this. It was one verse at the end of the second reading. And from Philippians, it says, avoid anything in your everyday lives that would be unworthy of the gospel. Now, I know that can be taken to extreme, like any scripture, out of context. We do need to rest and recreate. We do need to do all those things. However, sometimes we can go too far with those things. And if what we're doing there isn't somehow a help to us worship God or to be closer to God, because rest can help us get closer to God. Recreation can help us to do that. But if it becomes a pursuit of pleasure, then it's negative. And, for example, in the book of Revelations, when John speaks to the seven churches, when he speaks to the Ephesian church, he says, you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. Why? Because Ephesus, particularly, it was like the center of civilization. People were well off. The people who were at the top worked hard in order that they might retire early and have plenty of time for leisure. So that's not something new that's come in the 20th century. It's something that's been there. And they want to do it off the back of other people, like they had slaves and things like that. And so it's important that we understand, even when, say, that particular scripture was given, the context of it. Because sometimes we overemphasize the future, particularly in the book of Revelations, which we can do that too. That's valid, but we also have to understand it was written to a people at that time for a purpose. And if we don't start there, we usually end up at wrong interpretations for the future. So perhaps there's an element of that. I don't know. But we'll endeavour now to go through and just allow the Lord to speak to you In whatever way he wants to. So let's go with this. Let's try and open this up. We start from verse 1 with the introduction. Colossians chapter 3. Now, a little bit of a background to Colossians. You're probably aware that there were all sorts of things going on in Colossae. Now, Colossae was not far from Ephesus either. Laodicea was not far, and there was another city called Hierapolis, and they were all kind of, you know, mixed together, those three, and then Ephesus was a little bit further away. And, you know, there was a bit of confusion. There was a little bit of New Age, what we would call New Age. People were overemphasizing angels. Angels had became, to some people, more important than Christ himself. There's always a danger. If we don't keep Jesus center, then someone else will take it, the center stage. And again, it's important we believe in angels, and it's important that we believe in the ministry of angels, because God sends them, and he's all through the Bible that he sends angels. Very important. But when we take the angels and put them instead of Christ, we've got a problem. And there was that problem and many other issues in the Colossian church. And that's why in the first chapter of Colossians, we have that great hymn to Jesus himself. It was, I think it starts on verse 15. Yes, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Preeminent. Because he wasn't preeminent with all of the Colossians. And there was a lot of division. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross, and so forth. Wonderful hymn. It was a hymn in the early church. So the early church, by the way, their hymn book was the Psalms and songs about Jesus. That was their hymn book. All right, so, you know, that, and they did pretty well, because they had a lot of persecution as well. They did pretty well. They do better than what we do in the 20th century with all the modern things. So, going back to chapter 3, we'll go and start it. I know it's a very long introduction. I'm sorry, but it's good to get a little bit of context. We're not just preaching at you. Whenever I have to do a talk, I remember it's first for me. I have to apply it to myself. I have to make sure that Jesus is glorified and that his glory is maintained and not anyone else's, and that there is some practical application. It's no use just having our ears tickled by good sermons. There are thousands of them on the internet. You can pick whoever you like. They're good. They're much better than me, I can tell you that. They're great. But do we apply any of it? That's the main thing. You can have the best preacher in the world. So if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. I think that confirms what I said earlier from Philippians. Are we seeking the things that are above first and foremost? Now, I know that all of you do, because you wouldn't be here today if you didn't. But it's got to be at the top of our list. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, that's a pretty good introduction. It's a pretty good bit of scripture. It's encouraging us to work with Christ in us, because he's been raised. If we've died, there's a thing here. We're going to talk about the old man, and then there's the new man. These are terms for the old life, the life before Christ, and the life after Christ. And so, if we're in Christ, our behavior should be different. This is what Paul's getting at, and this is why he's going to talk about different things. There should be some fruit. Now, we all know that the old man doesn't die easily. And so that old nature, if you like, we'll use that word old nature, it comes to the head a lot. Something triggers us off, we get angry with someone. Something triggers us off and we say something nasty to someone. Something triggers us off and we have lustful thoughts or whatever. Something triggers us off and we're not, so we do go in and out of the old nature. We you know, no one walks perfectly in the new nature, because we are still sinners. There's this Adamic, if you like, structure in us that even though we are new creatures in Christ, in our spirits, we've made that decision in deep within our soul and our spirit to walk with Christ, and we've experienced him and he's cleansed us from within, and we walk in that. And if we're serious about that, and if you like, feed that by prayer, by personal prayer, commitment to God, scripture, communion, these things, if we feed prayer, then those we will grow more. We will walk more in the new nature than in the old. That's what happens. If we have good fellowship, we'll grow more in the new nature than in the bad nature. But if we don't feed the good nature, then the bad side will take over. There was a story about a man in, I think it was in Nepal, and there were some missionaries that went to Nepal, or one of those countries. Anyway, cut a long story short, when the missionaries got to this old man, they found a few people, and they were Christians. And to cut a long story short, when they asked this old man how he maintained his Christianity, he says, I fed the good in me, the nature that Christ is in me. I fed that much more than the old nature, and that's how I've maintained my Christianity. Because they had no one, they were just a few people. They had no pastor, they had no Bible, nothing. But they were able, because they understood this concept about walking in the new nature, they were able to survive as Christians. Anyway, let's go on. I've got lots of notes. I don't know whether I'll use any of them, but we'll see how we go. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Now, he gives a list here of the old nature. And again, all these things are in all of us, if we're honest, and to different degrees and so forth. But he's telling this, the Colossians. Now, he's talking to Christians, right? Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, there it goes again, with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is, in this new life, in other words, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Now that's, again, I know this is repetition, but he's saying in Christ, you've got to put these things aside. You've got to live differently. Now I know and you know that you can say that and you can decide today you're going to do that, but then tomorrow you miserably fall. And that's what happens to me, and it happens to a lot of people. However, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that can be minimized. And again, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do these things. We can want to do them. We know we should do them. But as Paul said, the very things I want to do, I can't do. And the very things and the opposite. Okay? So we all suffer. So again, it goes back to basics. Now, if we forget to put petrol in our car, now the car is the most wonderful, one of the most wonderful inventions, because most of us here would have never got here today if we didn't have cars. We would still be travelling. We'd probably have to overnight in some hotel or something. But without petrol, the car cannot go. And it's a good analogy for us as Christians. Without constant reference or constant calling on the Holy Spirit to help us, we cannot live the Christian life. It is difficult. And if we do, and I've said this before, we can get very proud and look down on others who can't. And Derek Prince tells this story about this, and he tells the story about he was doing Weight Watchers, and he did well with Weight Watchers. And so he became, he said, a Weight Watchers Pharisee, because he was looking at everyone. If they were a little bit overweight, he was judging them horribly because he was doing well. We don't want you to be one of those either, because when you become that religious person, it's not very nice and you don't help anyone. You actually turn people off Christianity because you're not revealing the true Christ. However, if we walk in the Spirit, if we walk in this new nature by invoking the help of the Holy Spirit, we can live this life out. Our response has to be, again, those basic things of prayer, personal prayer, making a decision to put time aside for God, to read the Word, to go to communion, to do these things, to have good fellowship with brothers and sisters prior to everything else that we do. And in our society now, pleasure is really the pursuit of most people, including most Christians first. It's not secondary. And unfortunately, it's sapped. The Western Church is sapped of spiritual fire because of this. And so maybe that's why the Lord is speaking to us. And then he says this. I'm looking at the time. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Now, this put on has something to do with baptism in the early church, where people took their clothes off and put on a white gown so they'd go into the waters. So he's using this imagery, which was, you know, they could understand what he was talking about. And so we take off and we put on with the help of the Holy Spirit. We put on this new way of living, this new mindset. And with the Holy Spirit, we can move forward. So instead of those bad things that I just spoke about, now instead of them, we put on the good stuff. We put on the good things. I'll read them again. Compassionate hearts. Okay? Now, most people here have that, if not all. Kindness, most people would, but we can all grow in those things. Humility, that's something that perhaps we all need to grow a bit more in. That's why a big challenge for me, always. And that's why the Lord has taught me that it's important when I fast, to fast, to humble myself first, because we're all very proud. We all like to take the glory, but we want to give the glory to God. And humility doesn't come naturally. And we actually taught in our society everything against humility. So it's very important, that one. It's important that we are not know-it-alls. I don't know it all. I am not I cannot interpret all of God's purposes, except I know the basic ones, which I'm trying to preach this morning. I don't have all the answers. Only Jesus does. But we are walking in the new nature. Meekness. Meekness is, of course, strength under wraps, like a horse. It's not weakness. It says of Moses, he was the meekest man on earth. God only uses, by the way, the humble and the meek in big things, because he can't use the proud and the self-sufficient. And forgiveness. Patience, sorry, which is another one that I personally need a lot more of, and we all perhaps need a little bit. Bearing with one another, and then forgiving one another, which we've spoken about. We've had the sisters speak here. I don't want to speak about it again, because there's heaps of messages. They're all on YouTube. The Lord has spoken. And the peace. And then he says, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds together in perfect harmony. It's like the thing that holds everything together, love. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is something I'm really trying to practice myself. And this morning we had a sermon on it about the man who wrote, in the old days we used to write checks. I still do, but they're now barring me. I've got a letter saying they're not going to be used anymore. But this man used to write thank you in every bill that he paid, including the tax department. So because he could see that, you know, people complain, but without it we can't have free Medicare or whatever. So be thankful. I'm really, really, God's convicted me about being thankful for everything. For every tablet you take, everything that you do, every little thing, be thankful to God. And it's very, very important. We don't know how blessed we are. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, let's go back. So there's forgiveness, there's thankfulness. And there's this word, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, I'm going to put up, what does this peace mean? Okay. Now, I need to grow more in walking in this. But we're going to put it up now and see, have a look at it. Have a look at the word peace. All right? So this word is the Greek word irene, peace or harmony, can be translated. The word is used 92 times in the New Testament and often carries the Old Testament sense of shalom. Shalom, which means well-being. The biblical notion of peace has more to do with spiritual welfare than the cessation of warfare. Peace is one of the great blessings that Jesus Christ has given to the world, John 14:27. It is rooted in our reconciliation with God. So true peace is being at peace with God. This is, for me, the most important thing. When I put my head on the pillow at night, I know I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know if I was to die, I would be right with God through that peace. That's the true meaning of peace. Okay, number one. Let's go on. It is an inward peace. Romans 15:13 and Galatians 5:22. It can branch out to establish peace between individuals, families, and even nations. Now, that's what we mean by it. when we talk about it, but it's only part of it, as you can read. Unless it is grounded in Christ, unless this peace is grounded in Christ, worldly peace can only be shallow and short-lived. For this reason, believers are called to spread Christ's peace throughout the world by sharing the gospel and working for justice in earthly societies. And there's all the scriptures. Behind all of this stands the Old Testament expectation that the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, would come to establish a worldwide covenant of peace with Israel and all the nations. Now, you might think that comes from a Catholic commentary, right? So this peace also has a future aspect to it. It has an aspect where we don't know exactly how it's going to be, and this is very important that we don't get into how it's all going to happen, because everyone disagrees anyway, how it's going to happen. But something like this will happen. And there will be peace. The peace that people have been seeking will be found in that time. It will be forever. It's a peace that the world cannot give because it neither knows him or acknowledges him. And so the apostle here, Paul, is trying to convey to the Colossian church, again, there's something to look forward to here. We're thankful, we're forgiving people, and we live in this harmony with God and with each other. And recently I was hearing Mike Bickle, and he was talking about the importance of doing the things, again, the mundane things, like reading the Bible, going to your groups, which a lot of us have become a bit slack about, doing those things. Because in those things that are not spectacular is where God does most of the work. If we just think it's when the spectacular, yes, God does things that are spectacular, but he does things because he helps us grow in groups in patience, in kindness, in humility. That's where we grow in those things that the apostle talks about.